It is just a moment past 4 o'clock here. And that means it's time for our classic pick. Chris Carey is taken today off, but he sent in a fine, fine classic pick stunt double here in the form of Mr. Gene Armstrong. Always a pleasure to welcome Gene back to the show.
I don't have quite as much facial hair as Chris.
You don't, but you have as much knowledge.
But I'm happy to be here because I always love what he does and what you do in collaboration with him on the classic pick, and so it's like an honor when I get to sub.
Yeah, well, and you know, you and I come from similar backgrounds in that we had time in music journalism before we were DJs, so I think that this feature lends itself well to people that really love sort of the history and the excavation of the story behind the albums here. This week, taking a look to an artist that, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and admit it here, because I hate it when people won't admit or are embarrassed to admit if there's an icon artist that they don't know a lot about. And I don't know as much about Kate Bush as I should. I certainly know who she is. I know a bit about her importance, but I don't know nearly as much as some of my fellow fans do. So I'm really excited for you to tell me more about Kate Bush and the album The Sensual World. Did come out right around this time back in 1989, correct?
Yes. And I'm excited for you because that's an area of music you still can learn something new
about. Yeah, that's what I always say is whenever someone, you know, you've probably experienced this in music journalism circles, like, what? You don't know that Velvet Underground record or whatever. It's like, no, it just means there's lovely new things to learn about.
Exactly. I agree. Well, this Kate Bush's album, The Sensual World, is probably one of my favorite albums. And I think it's arguably her best one. A little background, it came out after Hounds of Love in 1985, which was her big breakthrough.
Right, and that's the one that I'm the most familiar with.
Sure, it had Running Up That Hill and Cloud Busting, that is. But this, she started working on after that, and she started going in a new direction, as she did on every album. And I think it shows her refining and making more sophisticated the sound from Hounds of Love. But we'll go back a little bit. She was born in 58 to a family in Kent, raised Roman Catholic. But I mention that only because her parents encouraged her and her two brothers to study all the form of the arts, music, folk dancing, poetry, photography, even martial arts.
Oh, wow.
And she brought a lot of that movement knowledge into her performance later. We're talking about the word discovered, right? She was sort of discovered by David Gilmour of Pink Floyd, who at 16, she had a demo tape that was turned down by a lot of companies. So he financed and produced a new one that got her signed to EMI Records.
Okay, well, that right there, you just deepened my investment in Kate Bush because I love me some David Gilmour.
Oh, there you go. And he plays...
If he loves her, I will.
He plays on two tracks on this album, in fact.
Oh, very good.
The one you're going to play tomorrow.
Excellent.
So then she spent like 2 years finishing high school and studying mime and dance. One of her teachers was Lindsay Kemp, who was David Bowie's mime teacher as well. And her first two albums were released in 1978 when she was like 19 and 20 years old, within 9 months of each other. A couple more albums, she developed her sound. Then we get up to 1989 with The Sensual World, which by this time she was producing herself and trying to incorporate as many different styles and textures, and her fellow musicians, David Gilmour for one, her brother Patty Bush has played on almost every one of her albums. He plays stuff like the pipes and the fiddle and the bouzouki, traditional folk instruments. And when she got to The Sensual World, she started indulging in more of her literary passions. The title song, The Sensual World, which we'll hear today, is based on the final chapter of James Joyce's Ulysses, which is really a stream of consciousness soliloquy by the character Molly Bloom. And she wanted to use words, phrases, dialogue from that stream of consciousness chapter, but the James Joyce estate wouldn't let her. So she wrote her own that we'll hear in a few
inspired
minutes.
Inspired by. Very good. Even better, though.
Then in 2011, she created another album called Director's Cut, in which finally she had obtained the rights to use words from the James Joyce novel. And so now those in that version are the lyrics. It's interesting to listen to them back to back. We won't do that today. That's sort of like a music obsessive thing that I would do. What else can I tell you about The Central World? The final song on the album, which we'll hear on Friday, is called This Woman's Work. Many of the listeners may be familiar with it because Maxwell had a huge hit with it in 2001.
Really?
Yep. He is one of the many big fans of Kate Bush that exist in the musical firmament. Everyone from Regina Spektor and Bat for Lashes to Big Boy from Outkast and Brett Anderson from Suede, Charlie XCX, and Florence Welch, St. Vincent. A lot of these people cite her as a main influence.
I could certainly see that in the St. Vincent department.
Sure,
no question.
Yeah. Tori Amos.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Yeah. This album features a wide variety of guest musicians like the Trio Bulgarka, which is a group of Bulgarian singers who sing in the traditional folk style that many world beat fans from the 80s will remember as a result of that album, The Mystery of the Bulgarian Voice. Mick Karn from Japan plays on one of the songs. David Gilmour, like we said. Nigel Kennedy plays violin and viola. Eberhard Weber, plays bass. Michael Kamen did the orchestrations. It is an amazing record, not one weak track, and it shows her like in the full power of what she does. You know, she had reached her peak, I think.
And do you feel at the time, were the critics and the general public, were there fans, were they receptive to this? Was it a successful album at the time of its release?
It was well received critically, and by the fans, of course, who, you know, are crazy for her. But it, you know, never sold that much.
Yeah, not a blockbuster.
Her success in the UK never quite was matched by her success in the US, although this album did go gold in the United States and was certified platinum in the UK. And she's made several albums since, but and I love everything she does, but this one, I think...
This is the high watermark for you.
In my opinion.
Excellent. Yeah. I'm talking with Gene Armstrong about our classic pick of the week, The Sensual World by Kate Bush, came out right around this time in 1989. Anything else to add before we dive into your first selection here?
Well, there's a lot to add, but I think that'll pretty much sum it. We don't want to bore the listeners.
Again, Gene, thanks so much for taking the time to do your research and come in and share it.
Thank you for having me.